The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live feed update for March 30th. Good morning. It's a good morning. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
Good. I'm back. I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. I was sick. I had been traveling, but we're back, ready to go. I feel like I've been watching a ping pong tournament all night, but everything's okay now.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that you were sick of the pretty boys and that you couldn't come in because of it.
I was. I came down with a great case of PB syndrome, so it's just not good. But we're over it now.
All right. Good. Good to know. Good to have you back, Mary. We are here to update you on everything that happened on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds yesterday. It was day 28 in the house, and we woke up to a missing blood veto. Where did it go?
It's gone.
I thought blood was supposed to be hard to clean up.
I thought so, but not in this case. So it's just gone. Nobody knows. And everybody's still pretty suspicious.
Yeah. Poor Damien went into the room. He's like, where are you, Vito?
Like, you've been my one solace throughout this game.
You're supposed to be mine. Now you're gone. I hope somebody else doesn't have you.
The whole Damien issue here, I mean, it's like, what was the point? What was the point in having him see this blood veto? You know, he couldn't even use that information in any kind of way. The prophecy's just not coming true.
Yeah, it's shades of Kevin Martin finding the thing that the have not power, like finding the little thing, but then not being allowed to have it. It's just like, just let the people who, I don't know. I guess he was voted in, so he didn't like necessarily do anything to deserve it. But still, like you kind of do feel like he has some amount of ownership over it. But you know, what are you going to do?
You know, I think I'm changing my mind on this whole thing. I think I would rather people get voted in for no reason rather than incorrect reasons that the editing wants you to believe about them.
It's true.
So, you know.
That's a good point. All right. Sam is our HOH. Last we heard, the nominations were looking like they were going to be Mark and Kiki. So we're going to see if that holds. There's going to be a lot of conversations. And I tweeted this out. Let me just tell you, this is a roller coaster of a day here. I almost wanted to start this podcast declaring the death of the Pretty Boys. And I still think I might just declare this podcast the death of the Pretty Boys in terms of their ability to control the flow of information in the house. I think that's basically over. They're holding on by a thread. They could get it back, but I think that for right now, I'm going to declare this day marks the start of the probable end to the Pretty Boys' domination of the information flow in the house, which is where they get their power. Now, they still might win this thing because they're really good at competitions and they still have control over some people and they have a lot of influence. But in terms of the Pretty Boys operating like the Brigade, that's over. I'm declaring it over. They are no longer the Brigade. I need to get Hoffman in here to talk about what went wrong.
It's interesting that you say that, though, because while I do think that they don't have the same kind of control over information that the Brigade had, they almost have more control over, like, the emotional mentality of most of these people in the game. Like, there's some people where they're so close, like Kiki and Esty, Kira. Oh, throughout the day, people get so close to just going all in against the Pretty Boys, and then one, it just takes one of them to walk in, spin their head back around, and then they're back with them. They understand that the boys probably have an alliance, are probably protecting each other or working with each other in some capacity, but they can't break free of that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a complete end yet, because they also, every time you hear them talk about like who's an alliance, at least one person in the room says, yeah, but it's probably like Damien also with them. I can't believe that it would be Mark. I mean, Corey just completely can't see what's what. And it's, I don't know. I wanted so badly to just have a mix up in the house. And I think that despite all the ping ponging back and forth and the changing of plans, we're not too far from where we started the day by the end of it.
I agree. And I, like, again, I don't want people to jump to conclusions here. I'm being very careful with my words. Their control over the flow of information, I think, is over. But as a strong alliance, they are still very much on the board. They still control the house. They have just gone from dominating big Brigade to dominating normal kind of alliance, I believe.
We're back in like Survivor Borneo, when everyone's sitting there going, you know, I mean, they might be working together, but like, let's wait a couple more votes and then maybe we'll declare that it's an alliance. If it happens like two or three more times, if they refuse to put each other up like a couple more times, if this person doesn't save this person, I don't know.
So many times today, Kiki said, you know, if Mark stays over me, that'll really say something. Like, yeah, so then you'll be gone. So yes, they still have a lot of power. They still have a lot of influence. You know, the prophecy that was foretold over a week ago when they first got caught, that their movement would be limited. That is happening. That, you know, if they want to protect themselves this week, there's a very good chance that they're going to have to out themselves completely. And it's mostly happened already. Pretty much everyone here in the house at this point has a pretty good idea that they're working together, even if they don't know the details. However, the devil is in the details, and it's very important to know the details. It might bite you if you don't. So we'll talk about all of this as we move along today with this update. So we started the day with Adam and Dane, and they were talking about the potential nominations of Kiki and Mark, and they agree if Kiki and Mark stay on the block post-veto, no matter what happens, Mark is staying. They will do whatever it takes to keep Mark in the game. Kiki will leave. However, it would be great if they could get Corey up. If they could get Corey backdoored or just up on the block, they'd love to take Corey out of the game. Corey is somebody that they feel threatened by physically, and that they can, you know, that would just be easier for them. It would be less exposing for the Pretty Boys. So that would be great. And so Dane's plan to get Sam to target Corey is that he's going to tell Sam, you know, hey, Sam, you were the alpha female of the house until Corey walked in, and she has usurped your role as alpha female. So I don't know if you want to do anything about that.
Which is more of a reason why Sam should keep Corey around, if that's even the case.
Yeah, you know, maybe. So that's the plan from Adam and Mark at the, or Adam and Dane at the start of the day. So Sam is then going to have a lot of conversations as the HOH. First, she's going to talk with Mark, and he's just basically gonna be like, I've never gone after you, I've never wanted to target you. And he also throws out Kira's name, he throws out Corey's name as potential nominees. Not a great showing from Mark here, making the classic mistake of throwing out people's names when it's pretty clear that you're already going to be in a little bit of trouble, which just further alienates you from those people who you might need their votes. Then Sam is going to talk to Damien. She tells Damien, you're good. Everything's fine. You don't have anything to worry about. Adam at one point is going to congratulate Damien on making it to the jury, because there's no way Damien will go home. Oh, how I wish that were true. She's also going to talk with Dane, and this is where it gets a little interesting. Dane throws Kiki under the bus. He says, yeah, Kiki has been targeting you. I'm not going to lie. She's been throwing out your name, and she's somebody that you need to watch out for. And, you know, I think, you know, if she left, Esty and I, we could move forward with you and Adam. I think that's something that could work. And Sam, she likes this. She's on board.
Well, Dane at least is approaching her with a long-term plan and some incentive for the future of taking someone out. So many people just come up to Sam and say, like, this person is targeting you right this second, vote them out, and then things will be fine. But don't try to give her any incentive for why that would benefit them to listen to you in particular. But Dane's really good with it, you know, with his way with words in this case.
Yes. So everything's looking pretty solidified here. Sam is going to talk to Kiki. Okay, we're going to see. Can Kiki get herself out of this? Because Sam really wanted to go after Corey. And as we know, it doesn't really make any sense for her to do what she's doing right now anyway. So let's see what we can do here. Kiki, though, not super successful. She says, oh, I was never coming after you. Sam knows that to be a complete lie. So Sam thinks I'm being lied to. Sam implies to Kiki, you know, it's all of Kiki's sort of normal campaigning that doesn't really work very well. And Sam kind of lets her know, you're going to be going up on the block next to Mark, but, you know, don't worry, you're not a target. But yeah, you're kind of a target. So doesn't go well, but don't worry, Esty is going to come in for the rescue, because Esty talks to Sam, and Esty is very effective. This is where Esty shines. They kind of, you know, they have flaws, Esty and Kiki, but they also have, you know, things that they do well that kind of complement each other. Well, like, Kiki is really bad at campaigning and lying and basically just talking to people, and Esty is really good at those things. And then Esty is really bad at, like, thinking, and Kiki can kind of think. So
together,
they almost make a good enough player.
Yeah, I mean,
especially when one of them is in danger and they have motivation.
Yeah, well, because Kiki's plan every time she thinks she's going on the block is basically like, let me just tell them that I was never going after them and hope that stops it. And then I'm going to go around telling everyone else that this has lit a fire under me and I'm going to come back and this is what I needed. And Esty's like, yeah, why don't we, like, actually try to talk our way out of this, though? It hasn't happened yet, because this is the morning. You know, nominations aren't going to happen for hours. They have time where they could theoretically do something. But yeah, Esty's really great at talking with Sam and really works up the idea that Mark is the target and that's the one that they actually need to be going after.
Yes. So Esty goes all in on the guys thing. She knows that Sam is really pumped up about this guys thing. So even though Esty doesn't believe it at this point in time, she fully just pretends that she does in order to motivate Sam to do something different. And so she says, like, hey, a guy has to leave this week, Sam. They're going to run the house. And she thinks that she's lying about this, manipulating Sam. Little does she know, she's actually telling the truth, but it's still a lie, but it's still working with Sam. But anyway, point being, it's very effective. And so a guy has to leave. If a guy doesn't leave, then the guys will stay. They'll have influence and they'll protect Adam over you, that you will leave before Adam. And so you know, Kiki and I, we're going to protect you over Adam. Like, we're about the women. Kiki, she respects women. She loves women. She's all about women. What's all, we should, women. We should work with women. and Sam is like, this makes a lot of sense. And, Esty also, and she's like, but like, yeah, Kiki's lying to me. She's lying to my face. I don't like this. I don't trust Kiki. And, Esty's like, no, you don't understand. Yes, Kiki was coming after you and Adam, but between the two of us, we were always coming after Adam first. Adam's the bigger threat. And Sam is like, oh, I like the sound of that. This is working very well. And she really convinces Sam, you know what? I don't want Kiki out. I'd rather see Mark leave, but I still don't have another option for a pawn because I don't want to put Damien up and I don't want to put Anthony or Corey up if I'm not going to take them out. So Kiki's still kind of the option for the pawn, but I'd much rather see Mark leave at this point. And I think we have the votes. And so that's shifting in Sam's mind now. Now, okay, instead of Kiki being the target, maybe Mark is the target here.
Yeah, and the issue, like you were talking about, that I had all day with Esty and Kiki and why I think that they're close to being good players is you come into conversations like this. And if you didn't know any better and you're listening to this, you go, wow, Esty, she's doing the right thing. She wants to target the guys. She's seen the light. But then 2 seconds later, she'll leave the room and tell Kiki, yeah, I told Sam we're not going after her, but really we're going after her next. Oh, yeah. And I don't care about any of this. And yeah, we just want to go against them. We're cool with Dane. Yeah, there's definitely not a guys alliance. It's like you're saying the right things and you're lying about it, but it's actually the right things. Please go with that plan. Please.
It's so funny. Kiki or Esty, when she's lying and manipulating, it's like completely correct about everything and really effective. When she's just being herself, she sucks.
Yeah, we're so close. We're so close. And that's why it was like a roller coaster yesterday, because this happens several times throughout the day, just like with different plans. But people, when they're lying, are doing the right thing.
Yeah. I tweeted out just before the update too. We'll talk about it more once we get along here, but like, this is really just all kinds of backwards everywhere we look in terms of people who are close to the truth, but they have the complete wrong plan, and people who are, you know, totally like way off, but they have better plans, and like doing the right thing that you might think is the right thing that's anti pretty boys might actually be the worst thing for your game at this point. It's all over the place. So, we'll try to make sense of it here as we go along.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So after Sam talks to Esty, she talks with Adam, and she's kind of being a little cagey, like, you know, I'm not sure who I want to target anymore. And Adam's like, what do you mean? I thought it was Kiki. Like, what's going on? Kira ends up joining them, and Sam is just kind of like, you know, I'm just going to put them both up. I'm not going to name a target. And I don't know. There's something funny about this where there are certain things in the Big Brother house that when you say them, people will just automatically respond. So like anytime Sam says, I'm just going to not name a target. Smart.
Yeah,
that's smart. Every time. So I'm not going to name a target, but then it kind of becomes clear that the reason she's saying she's not going to name a target, and Adam sees this, is like, oh, are you thinking about targeting Mark now? Like, what's happening? And she's like, I don't know. I've just, you know, I've been thinking. And Adam says, Mark's not going to go home against Kiki. It's just not going to happen. And Sam is like, oh man, that's upsetting to hear. And Adam's like, what's going on? And Sam's like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm changing my mind. It's like, oh boy, this is all over the place. Doesn't go anywhere though.
I mean, but the thing is with Adam is he's got this guy's alliance, and he is the worst at hiding it. He will tell you to your face in one sentence, there's no guys alliance, but also the guys definitely won't vote Mark out. And also, yeah, I don't want to vote. I want to vote out a woman. So you should probably put Corey up or Kiki up. Like one sentence, he'll say all that. And he also gets mad. There's a little bit of a lover spat here. He storms out of the room and then immediately comes back like 1 minute later. And he's just like, I just feel like you don't trust me. I just feel like you want to talk to Kira alone. What is with this?
It's well, because Kira asks Sam, how did the conversation with Esty go? And Sam was like, really good. And yeah. Kira's like, what did she talk about? And Sam is like, looks at Adam. We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
And Adam's like, okay, guess you can't talk in front of me. And so he just leaves. And then, so then they immediately start, she was talking about the guys thing. And then Adam comes right back and he's like, I don't like this.
Yeah. He's like, you used to trust me a lot when I was in power, but now that you're in power, you don't trust me at all. I hate this. I'll vote however you want, but also we should definitely not vote Mark out. And like Mark is definitely like, I feel close with the guys and I want you to feel close with the guys because I feel close with them. And Kira's like, yeah, but Adam, that's the thing. Like, you're close with them. And so we're after you on the list. He's like, yeah, but I just want us all to be close because I'm close with the guys. But there's no guys alliance. But I'm close with the guys and I want you to also be close. But Adam, they're going to come after Sam before they come after you. Why? I could stop them from doing that. What? Which, I mean, debatable on whether or not you feel like that would actually work or not. But
right. I think the thing to understand about Adam and Sam's relationship at this point is that he has all but admitted to Sam that there is a guys alliance, that he like they kind of talk about it cryptically. He doesn't feel comfortable coming out and actually saying, yes, there's an alliance. It's called the Pretty Boys. But they have like in the subtext of their conversations made it clear that like, yes, I'm working with the boys and, you know, I'm trying to keep you safe. And Sam has been like, well, as long as you're keeping me safe, like I'm loyal to you. And that's like when he came in, he was like, I feel like when I had the power, you were like all about it. And now when you have the power, you're like flipping things around. Sam knows that Adam is working with the guys. He's not really tried to deny it at this point. And something else about their relationship is that it's totally flipped, right? So when they first got together, Adam was like all about the Pretty Boys and he's like, I'm totally willing to cut Sam. As they've gotten closer and closer, their roles have changed where like now that they're like, let's get married and have kids. Like Adam is, I fully believe this, willing to betray the Pretty Boys for Sam if necessary. Where now when the relationship started, Sam was like, just gaga-eyed over Adam. Now she's flipped. They've flipped positions. And now Sam is working her own game over Adam's game, trying to do things that benefit her more so than Adam. And it's very interesting how it flips that way. Because in many ways, the Dane and Anthony prophecy from the first week that we made fun of, it kind of come true.
Yeah, I mean, it did, except at this point, like all of the Pretty Boys have their own people anyway, so it's not as big of a deal. It's not like there's this really strong Pretty Boys alliance that doesn't have any connections and Adam's off by himself completely leaving. So I think just a lot has changed since then, but it would be really interesting to see if Sam tells Adam, you know, I want Mark gone, you need to vote Mark out or I'm not going to trust you anymore or whatever, and just point blank gives it to him, if he would go through with that kind of thing. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on what the power structure of the following week is going to look like. Because if it's Dane and Esty and Kiki telling, you know, Adam or whoever that, yeah, we're going to stick together next week, then maybe he would vote out Mark. But the problem is, well, we'll get to it, but there's every time one of these big conversations happens like that, there's little side conversations right after that being like, yeah, 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 we're not actually going to do that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's a very interesting question about like whether, like if Sam says to Adam, you need to vote out Mark, or if she puts up another guy next to Mark or does something that is just completely against what Adam wants, I do think that even though he would betray the Pretty Boys for her, it's almost like that situation where like you're in a relationship and you're friends with somebody and the person you're in a relationship with is like, you need to end that friendship or we can't be together. And it's like, well, I totally would have chosen my relationship over the friendship. But the fact that you're trying to make me choose tells me that this relationship isn't going to work. I think that if Sam tries to force Adam to pick her by like putting another guy on the block or telling him, if you don't vote out Mark, then like this is it. I think that I don't think he will respond well to being forced into that position. I think that he wants to work with Sam, not for her, when she forces him to. And so I think that, you know, could lead to a bad situation for Sam if she attempts it.
Well, and the problem is that with the structure of the house is that if say she did demand something like that and then Mark stayed and Adam did not vote Mark out, Sam doesn't have a whole lot of options left. She still has to be loyal to Adam. So I think that like their partnership, I mean, while not happy, could survive it still.
Yeah. So we then get a little bit of Sam and Mark, where she finally lets Mark know he's basically going on the block. But she doesn't tell him she wants him out, obviously. So then Anthony and Dane are going to talk. Anthony was taken to Wendy's. I believe they saw Rosina, which is an interesting choice. Rosina, fantastic.
Or the best choice.
Yes. She was expecting Erica. So Anthony lets Dane know about the conversation he had with Sam during Wendy's. They reiterate their final two and how they're the only sane ones in the Pretty Boys, and that Mark and Adam can't be trusted. And they also talk about how if the nominations stay the same, the plan will be that at the last minute, they'll flip the vote to save Mark, and that's how it's going to work. So that's good information to have for now, in case things don't change, but there are a lot of opportunities for them to change. So really this week could go in so many directions at this point. It's pretty crazy. All right, but we need to get to that point. So Kiki and Sam have a conversation. Now that Sam is on board to keep Kiki and go after Mark, and Kiki lets Sam know, confirms, yes, I always saw Adam as the bigger target between the two of you. And Sam says, I need you to stay. We need to get a guy out of the house. Kiki is all about it. They're good. Feeds go down. Blood veto time.
Yeah, and it's going to be a treasure hunt, and they're going to find it, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be so entertaining, and I can't wait to watch it on the TV show.
Feeds come back up. Kira has the blood veto.
Yeah.
Wait, and what?
And it was a discussion, and that's how they got it. It sounds like some people were able to pitch themselves as wanting to have it, and then people voted, and it had to be unanimous.
I don't know if you remember a little fan favorite twist back in Big Brother Canada 4 called the fake double eviction, that everyone loved it. They used this little mechanism where the house guests had to decide unanimously who to bring back into the game. And this worked really well for TV and the twist and the game, where they chose to bring back somebody that was in the, like, the showman, not the person that would come back guns blazing, but the person that would come back and just take out the best player in the game and then go to the end and lose. And it was just really effective as a twist. So they decided to bring this back, very, very much like taking cues from Big Brother US when they decided, Battle of the Block was a great idea to bring back.
Well, because everybody knows that people in a game really, really respect the game, and they really, really want the best players in there and the best players to have the chance of mixing up the house. And you're never going to try and keep the weaker players around or give them the powers. That's not how it does. Like, Canada can vote one way, but the people in the house, they know what's up, and they know how to make the most entertainment.
Yes. So what happens is I believe they were in the backyard. And they probably just standing around the blood veto, and they were, I think, told just you have to decide unanimously who gets the blood veto. And Sam was not there. Sam is, I believe, in the HOH room watching on a TV screen. So who's going to get the blood veto? Now, you might think, okay, here we go. Lots of drama, at least. This is their plan. Always lots of drama here.
We have a huge fight for it. Everybody wants it.
So here's what happens. Kira says, I want it. And then other people go, all right. And Kira takes it. That's the gist of it. Basically, Esty tried to be like, no, I want it. But Mark in particular and other people were like, well, no, you're just going to use it on Kiki. So Esty, you can't have it. Kira's like, I should have it. People are like, anybody else? Anybody? I should have it. I should have it. And Adam was like, I guess Kira. And they were like, okay. Here you go, Kira. Kira now holds the Blood Veto.
And from what we know, it sounds like Kira is safe, cannot be nominated, cannot play in the Power of Veto. There is a little bit of confusion whether or not they get to use this veto as a veto, how long they get to use it for, how long they're safe for. But while everyone made a unanimous decision, almost immediately people start getting mad about it.
Yes. Kira at least claims, and I have no reason to really disbelieve them at this point, that they do not know what the Blood Veto does yet. They don't know how long it lasts. They don't know what the power is. All they know is that they can't be nominated this week, and they can also not play in the Power of Veto competition. So, who knows? They also had to promise that they would not use this veto week, at least. So that was part of the agreement that they would get it. And one other note,
not part of the rules, but part of the discussion for why they got it.
Yes. One other note is that a lot of people noticed that Corey ran straight to Dane and Anthony during the discussion, and she was whispering with them, which is really fueling the fire that that she is with the guys, which is true, but also, like, you know, not as true as they might think.
Well, but it's true, but it's also like, it's one of those things where if you're standing over here and you're Esty or someone, and you see Corey do that, you're like, yeah, Corey's with the guys. And then Esty will run over to Dane and say something like, Esty, you're also with the guys. You just don't realize it as much.
Yeah. And I think another thing to make sure we point out is that one of the reasons why people were hesitant to fight for the Blood Veto is that I don't know if they were told something that made them think this or if they just thought it on their own, but a lot of them seem to have an idea that this might not be a good thing, that there might be downsides to this power and it might not be worth having. So it
particularly
seems
Anthony seemed to be the one chanting that.
I don't know if, like, it was part of the instructions, like, take this power at your own peril, or if this is just complete speculation, but that did seem to be in their minds. So that's something else to think about here.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, feeds are back. Kira has the veto, the Blood Veto, and we're going to see Esty, Kiki, and Corey talking about the possibility of a guys alliance. This is kind of the first time Corey's been hearing about this, so just making sure to point it out. It doesn't really go anywhere. Corey doesn't think Mark would be a part of it. Corey doesn't think Damien is a part of it. Corey mostly, you know, entertains it, like, oh, that would be interesting, but for the most part doesn't seem convinced, as it usually happens the first time it's brought up. So just pointing it out that now Corey is aware of the idea, is similarly to basically everyone in the house has heard about this theory at this point.
Yeah, it was a pretty funny short discussion, just that by the end of pretty much every sentence, when they'd say, oh, here's some reasons why I think there might be a guys alliance, and the Corey would just go, yeah, I just don't think Mark would be a part of it. I just can't see that. But okay, yeah, I'll think about it. But probably not Mark. Just can't picture Mark in a guys alliance, though.
Yeah. So Adam is going to have a lengthy conversation with Esty in the pantry. And Esty is complaining about what happened with the veto. She was the most upset because she was the one fighting the hardest to make sure Kira did not get the Blood Veto. And so she's particularly upset with all the people that stayed quiet. She was like, I was fighting. I was, like, out there trying to do something, and everyone else was just sitting back and saying nothing. Like, Adam, at least you spoke up, you know, even though it was against me, like, at least you did something. And, like, Adam is like, yes, I agree. And they both start getting like all amped up about this, and Adam just starts, you know, complaining, like, I just don't, like, it's just It's so annoying. Like, it's like everyone always talks about targeting me and Sam. Me and Sam, always me and Sam. And then, like, when we're in power, it's like, well, you know, oh no, we're not going to target you. And then the second we're out of power, it's like, oh, well, we're going to target Sam again. It's so frustrating. It's so dumb. And so Esty starts to try to explain to him, like, well, it's because it's the easy thing to do. It's to, you guys have been the target for so long. It's like, yes, but like, it just, it doesn't make sense. Like, now we're going to take a shot at your side and you're just going to come back at us. And it just, it's stupid. Like, we should be working together. We are the powerful people in the house. We are the people that speak up. And there are all these people on the sidelines, just staying quiet and watching us battle it out. And they're going to be the ones that win this game. And Esty is like, mind blown. You're totally right. Like, this is so stupid. We should be working together. It's these people like Corey and Anthony. And I'm sorry, I like you, Damien, but you were so quiet during that thing. Like, these people are the ones that are going to get to the end and they're going to win. Like, that's so dumb. Kiki comes in. They start getting all worked up with Kiki too. And they start floating the idea. Maybe we should really make this happen and work together. Let's go talk to Sam about this.
It was around this point where I was like, oh my gosh, things are happening. This is going to be great. They finally see what the viewers see. It only lasts a little while, but it was a good little while.
They were very excited. So yeah, Adam, Adam goes, he leaves to go get, to go see if Sam is alone. But Sam is in the diary room making her nominations as they speak. So that's a little bit of bad timing there. And so after Adam leaves, Kiki and Esty, they like start celebrating. They're like, yeah, this is so great. And they're like, you know what? You know what's crazy too? I totally agree with everything I was just saying. We would definitely be loyal to this alliance of five people. Like, this would be great. We could work together. This is awesome. And so Esty goes and runs to Dane, and she's so excited. She goes like, Dane, you'll never believe what the conversation we just had. And, I was talking to Adam when we were talking about like working together with Sam, and Dane is just like, working with Sam. Okay. She's like, no, this is seriously, this is great. We're going to save Kiki. It's going to be awesome. We're going to work together. It's going to be so good. And he's like, okay. I mean, I guess if we save Kiki and we like make it like a backdoor Corey plan, like I can make this work. Dane is not happy.
No, Dane is just like, but my whole goal of this whole game is to get Sam out. All right. How can I still manipulate the situation so that it's bad for the people I'm working with? All right. Let's think about this for a second.
Yes. So that's what's going on there. Adam, meanwhile, talks to Sam about it, and Sam is on board now that she's out of the diary room. And she's a little bit like, oh, I just did my nominations though. Maybe I wouldn't want to put Kiki up. And they talk about the potential of backdooring Corey as part of this new alliance plan, that they'll take Kiki down, they'll backdoor Corey, they'll move forward with all of the best competitors working toward a single goal of getting to the final five, and they're on board with this. So they all get together in the lounge,
Leon's lounge, which is definitely going to be a secretive conversation that probably no one ever suspects that they're having.
I was like, why the lounge? Like,
it's like
weird,
the farthest
spot.
Room you have to walk by where everyone else is near the kitchen,
and it's the sketchiest.
Yeah,
the sketchiest place to be. But they got away with it. So they all get together in the lounge. They discuss working together. They talk about how like this is great. You know, the people in this room have won all of the competitions except for the one that Corey won. Right. And this plays right into Dane's hands, talking about
except Esty, who's just like, but I got close. I got close in all of them. Like, I was close, guys.
I've been close. I've been knocking at the door. And Sam's like, yeah, that's how it works. You knock at the door, then you go in. It's like, okay, yeah. All right. Great, guys. And with five people, once one more person leaves, they'll control the votes as long as they're not on the block together. And you know, they talk about like, let's backdoor someone. Let's make a move. It should be probably Corey because she's the best competitor. And, let's do this. And Sam is really like, I'm sorry. Like, I was just in the diary room. I just like put you up. And Kiki's like, don't even worry about it. It's fine. I'm going to be safe. And Dane was even like, well, I mean, you can probably ask them to change it if you want. And they're like, doesn't even matter. We don't need Kiki off the block because this is going to work and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, this is not going to be a waste of an HOH at all. And we're so close with all the guys' alliance talk, and the guy is definitely not going home this week, probably. There's a pretty funny conversation also that happens while they're all in this room where they're talking about Kira, and Sam's like, yeah, you know, it's great that we've got Kira, because Kira's absent from this conversation. They're saying, great, yes, that we've got Kira on our side. Kira's, has great observations on the game. And Dane's like, yeah, they're really resilient, and they were supposed to go home back in week two, but they stayed here. And then Sam's like, yeah, you know, and they're smart, they're emotional, they're a little annoying. But yeah, glad that we got them on our side. So it's just kind of funny how Dane can chime in with one thing and turn a conversation from pro someone to anti someone.
Yes. I mean, Dane had them like, well, we're going to flush this power and make sure that Kira leaves soon.
Oh yeah.
So
Dane really, really wants that blood veto out of the game.
Mm-hmm. So Mark and Kiki are in fact nominated for eviction. And when the feeds come back from the ceremony, we're going to get Dane immediately talking to Esty, saying, yeah, so that whole alliance thing is like total BS. Like, we're still going for Sam, right? Like, I'm definitely going to target Sam next week. I don't even care. I'll put her right on the block. It doesn't matter at all. But this is great for us. This works perfectly because now we're talking about Backdoor and Corey. That's beautiful. I set it up with the alpha female stuff, and now Sam is buying into it. This is great because we can keep Kiki safe, and then we'll take Corey out, who's a big physical threat, and now Mark will be mad at Sam for nominating him, and he'll be a number for us. This is all great stuff. And Esty is like, okay, but she has a little bit of whiplash here because she was really excited about this thing, and now like this... It's just like, okay, but okay, no, this is not happening. Esty did not take this super well. I think it was well reasoned out by Dane, but it was too much too fast. And she was just kind of like, whoa, but we're gonna keep Mark. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, Dane does do a pretty good job here of trying to sway it so that he needs to come up with the reason why Esty would be against Sam. And so he tells Esty that Anthony told him that Sam was saying that Esty wanted to put up Dane and Adam and all this, and just trying to, and then, immediately Esty's like, oh, well, Sam's a snake. Now I'm upset about this. Oh my gosh. Good thing I've got you here to feed me all this information. So it's confused, but I just don't have a whole lot of faith that Esty is ever going to be too suspicious of Dane like she needs to be.
Well, I do think that like this conversation in particular bleeds into the next conversation that Esty has, because Esty is going to talk with Kiki and they're going to talk more about the guys thing just themselves. Mm-hmm. And they do talk about like, this is starting to seem like maybe it's true, especially given that like, cause they were, and they even talk about like, the only thing is though that Adam, like, why would Adam want to make this alliance if there's a guys thing? That doesn't make any sense. Like, this alliance is a great cover for the guys. Like, Adam actually did a pretty good job, except that Dane totally messed it up for him. And so they're like, well, I don't know. But and Esty is definitely thinking about the fact that Dane just was like, okay, but instead of taking out Mark, let's take out Corey, then Sam, then Kira. And like, none of them are guys. And it's like, that's way too far in the future. He's doing too much too fast. Dane has a lot of strengths. He's very good at this game, but this was a little bit of a mistake and he is starting to lose control a little bit here. And so they're really talking about this in a very serious way. And
meanwhile, the second Kiki came in and said, oh yeah, Mark's crying, Dane's like, oh shoot. And then runs out to go help Mark also. So
yes,
not helping himself. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not saying that Dane is playing this perfectly. I'm just saying that I think all this conversation is just to get our hopes up, but I think by the end of the day, like, Esty and to some extension Kiki, even if they disagree with what Dane is doing, are going to be more loyal to Dane than any kind of girls alliance that they can come up with, unless I mean, I'm not sure what the breaking point would have to be, because I could see Dane putting in a lot of work to somehow, you know, spin their minds around where they really think Corey is a much bigger threat than Mark or something.
Yeah. Well, again, to be clear here, they are still loyal to Dane. But yeah. So when I'm talking about like the pretty boys losing their stranglehold on the information flow, like this is what I mean, where like they are starting to catch on to the fact that there might be a guys thing. But the thing that the pretty boys still have is that it's been so long that in the game, in this structure, that Sam even says at one point, like, it's too late to really do anything about this, because Adam's our guy, Dane is their guy, Anthony is Corey's guy. And so, like, even if they, you know, expose the pretty boys, it's not like the rest of the house that has no relationship with each other can just get together and work together to take the guys out, because that's not going to work well for everyone. It's going to work well for the people who have the numbers in that regard. And, yeah. And, you know, they're just going to be targets again when that blows up. So Kiki and Esty are catching on to the fact that Dane is potentially in some sort of guys thing. They still want to protect him. They still want to have Dane as their guy in the guys thing. And also they want to start to try to work with Sam on the side to maybe have a kind of a women's thing. And they definitely want to make sure that a guy leaves this week. And so it's like, it's not like it's a full on revolt against the guys. It's more like the guys are doing this, so we should also be doing this. And that's where this conversation kind of leads to.
Yeah, the problem is there are conversations where they consider Damien to be one of the guys, which is not great, because while they each have Adam and Dane, and for whatever reason, they refuse to put up Anthony. Because I think the thing is, every time
this is Kira and Sam. We're going to get to Kira and Sam.
Okay.
Okay. So Kiki and Esty, they're talking about wanting Mark gone. They're talking about this guy's thing. And then Kira joins them and Kira talks more with them about this guy's thing. And they really are coming around to this idea. They're like, yeah, we actually kind of agree. We actually think this might be happening. We do want to make sure Mark leaves. They don't want Corey to leave. So this whole backdoor Corey thing is starting to fall apart because Kiki and Esty do not support it. Kira is very against it. And so they really are starting to be like, we need to make sure Corey doesn't leave. We need to make sure a guy leaves this week. And that's very important, depending on how the nominations play out and how the votes are going to fall. And so they also talk about, like, also another thing here is that we definitely want to work with Sam. And so if Sam and Adam go on the block, we are votes for Sam. We want to make this work. We can't have Sam leave. So these are all very important parts to the pretty boys losing this power of information control and this level of influence over these particular people. Kira also is going to let them know, don't tell anyone, but if I have to, I maybe am willing to use the blood veto to save you, Kiki, if it's looking like you're going to leave over Mark. So this is all coming, you know, this is all coming into play here as we, you know, move forward with these nominations and such.
And that actually could be probably the best thing. If the blood veto does turn out to be the type of thing where it's a veto where there's no renom, or where there, you know, basically Kira is the only vote sending Mark out the door, kind of, you know, keeps it helps everyone in that the guys don't have to turn on a guy's alliance, but still gets a guy out, and then they don't have to ruin any kind of relationship with Corey by renaming Corey. So, you know, fingers crossed that might actually be what Clavito does.
Yeah. So then Kira's going to go talk to Sam. And this is probably like the culmination of what's happening here, is that they talk about, again, Mark has to leave. Kira says to Sam, you cannot put Corey on the block. And Sam is like, okay, that makes sense. We need to make sure a guy leaves. I know Adam was really, really wanting Corey to go. You know, the guys were pushing for Corey to go up on the block. And Kira's like, no, we cannot let that happen. You cannot put Corey on the block. And so Sam says, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I can't tell Adam. He'll be so mad. He wants to use the veto on Kiki to put Corey up. But I'm not putting Corey up. If Adam uses the veto, I'm putting a guy up. And so then
and finally, good by saying that they're not going to tell Adam this either. Yeah, which is like the biggest breakthrough.
She's going to tell Adam, though. Let's be real.
Hey, we could have some hope for just a little tiny bit.
So they talk about potential guy targets, people that they would backdoor if the veto was used. If in case you were like, wow, Kira seems to be on the ball here. Kira says, definitely not Anthony. I feel really good about Anthony. We should do Damien. Because Damien's definitely a part of the guys thing. And so here's because we don't want to put up Anthony. We can't do Dane because Dane won't leave. We'd love to do Dane, but it won't be Dane. He won't leave. We're not going to do Adam. We can't do Corey because she's a woman. The only person left is Damien. So let's put Damien up and that'll be great. We'll definitely get a guy out, Mark or Damien. And so this is what I'm talking about when I say, like, they're the closest to the truth. They have great intentions. The end result is that Damien, the one guy who's not in the Guy Alliance, who would definitely work against the Guy Alliance if prompted enough, and Mark, the guy who is in the Guy Alliance but plans on betraying the Guy Alliance. In fact, one of the few people in the house that would put two of them up at the same time if he won HOH. Those two could be on the block next to each other, and those are the people that you're looking to get out this week. And it's like you're so close. You're so close, but you're, as Tess says here, you're so far away at the same time. And it's so tragic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm frustrated just because Sam started talking this week saying, I'm going to put two guys in the block. Didn't do that. Regretted it instantly. Is going to regret whatever decision she makes if the veto is played. Because here's the thing. We're looking at a scenario where if the veto is not used, then probably Kiki is going home unless the blood veto is used. If Damien wins the veto, probably Corey's going on the block and Corey will go home. And if Damien wins the veto and keeps it the same, like probably Kiki is going home. I mean, there's not really a great win situation because they even talk. Sam and Kira talk in this conversation at length about how they want to backdoor Dane and how they want Dane out. And it would be great if Dane could go home. Oh, but the votes aren't there for Dane. If the votes aren't there for Dane, at least you get Mark out, an actual person who's I see what you're saying about Mark would turn on the Pretty Boys, but at least he is an actual member of the Pretty Boys. Better Mark go than Damien go.
I mean, honestly, I'm not even entirely sure about that. I think Mark is way more destructive to this guy's thing than Damien is. And also Mark is gunning for Dane, which is exactly what they want. Whereas Damien is pretty tight with Dane. Even if Damien did turn on the guys, it would probably be turning on Adam, and Adam's side. So I do think Damien is a better person for them to have leave over Mark. But I don't think either of them should be their target. They don't know that though, because they don't have any of this information. But there are a lot of possibilities here, and I want to try to walk through as many as we can. So Mark and Kiki are on the block. If they stay on the block, I do think that Mark will stay and Kiki will leave, which even if you don't like that, that's going to blow up the house. Like, as it's going to show the cards of the Pretty Boys. Esty is going to be pissed at Dane. Sam is going to be pissed at Adam. They'll probably still be working with them, but it's going to be a lot of drama. And they're totally going to be exposed at that point. And it could definitely change a lot of things in the house. If Mark wins the veto, then we will likely see Damien replace him, and Damien will probably leave. If Kiki wins the veto, then Damien will probably replace her and Damien will probably leave. However, there's still a possibility that if either of them win, Corey might go up. And I think if Corey goes up, then Corey probably leaves, because because the numbers aren't necessarily there. If Corey goes up and Kira decides that she does not want to vote Corey out, then we could see the numbers not there to evict Corey over Mark. But I do think that Corey would definitely go over Kiki. So Corey definitely still in danger here. And I will say, just based on a little bit of what we've seen this morning, Adam did talk to Sam and kind of got her back on the train of nominating Corey, and Kira was super mad about it. So it's definitely still up in the air whether the replacement would be Corey or Damian. So that's still, you don't know for sure. And then we also have the possibility of, if the veto is won and not used, then again, it would be Mark and Kiki on the block, and Kiki would likely go home. But if Kira sniffs out that Kiki would likely go home, Kira might use the blood veto on Kiki. And we don't know how that works, but if it works like a regular veto, then we would likely again see Damian go up on the block, which would mean that the blood veto takes Damian out of the game.
I don't like any scenario. Like, why is the best case scenario Damian going home? Like, that stinks, though.
It does.
I mean, I understand why it is the best. And, like, I'm not, Damian's bringing nothing to the table, but I just feel bad for him.
It sucks because, like, the right move from the start is just Dane and Anthony. You have to take one of them out. That is the way. You know, like, that's how you do it. You know, or at the very least, like, Anthony, take Anthony out of the game. What they should do is use the blood veto and the regular veto and just start fresh and put Dane and Anthony up on the block. That's what they should do. And at this point, that would be annoying because it would mean a twist, you know, help them, you know, do that. But they're probably not going to do it anyway. And man, like, I don't know. They're just like, it's really hard for them to figure out the right way to do this. And really, like, Corey probably is a better person for them to leave than even somebody like Mark, or even somebody like Damian. Although Damian is probably a lot more attached to Kiki and Esty. But now that Kiki and Esty kind of want to work with Sam, like, that's kind of okay. But, now we're hearing from Esty this morning that they're not actually as on board with Sam as they were thinking about the day before. So this is a very messy situation right now. So when I say that there's a lot of ways that this can play out, I very much mean it, but most of the ways that it plays out are not good for anybody, really.
None of these options are going to help me to not lose stock. Like, I have stock in all of these people. I think my issue is I don't know who I'm more annoyed with between Esty and Sam, because, like, they both get so close to the right idea and then go and tell guys or change your mind. Like, Sam has changed her mind so many times and just seems to, like, do whatever the last person told her. And usually that person is Adam. Occasionally it's Kira and we're close, but usually it's Kira coming in after the fact saying, oh, I was going to tell you, you should have put up, you know, Anthony and Damian or whatever. Like, I mean, probably the best thing, like, ironically, probably the best thing for a girls' alliance is to get Corey out, because Corey probably actually, like, is never going to work with a group of girls, as way more loyalty to Anthony than that. And Damian might actually help them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like they're so close, but it's almost like the wrong move for them, which is getting a woman out over a guy, is actually almost the best move that they can manage at this point, because they've already screwed up so much. And so it's all over the place. And it's like Kira, who is the person who is pointing them in the most correct direction, is also the main thing holding them back, because Kira is the one being like, but not Anthony. And that's like the linchpin. That's like the thing that's preventing them from doing any real damage, is that Kira keeps saying that that they feel like they can work with Anthony. And it's like, no, he is the most dangerous.
I mean, the problem here is that nobody is actually thinking super selfishly. They're all trying to keep the people around who help their allies. So, like, for Sam, who doesn't actually have a super great relationship with Dane, put Dane up. Now, the issue is, who do they put next to Dane to get Dane out? Probably no one at this case. Like, maybe Adam. I don't know. I'm not sure who you could put up next to Dane at this point to get Dane out. But at least you could draw some lines in the sand. You know, nobody wants any blood. You know, no one wants anybody coming after them the next week, which is making them try to just put up the targets that'll cause the least damage, which, of course, means that all of the threats to their game are still going to be left after, no matter what combination of who goes home. I mean, no matter who goes home this week, it's like almost impossible. Like you said, you'd have to use both the veto and the blood veto to get someone out who's actually a big target for Sam.
Yeah. And Nikki points out, okay, if Damian wins the veto, he takes Kiki down. They still want to make sure, or even if he doesn't take Kiki down, he just has the veto and Kira uses the blood veto or something and somebody comes down and then somebody has to go up. Then with Damian, there's not an option. Maybe Anthony goes up if they don't want a woman to go up and then Anthony will be on the block. But it's like, and I'm like, okay, yes, here we go. This is something that makes sense. But then I realized Anthony won't go home. It'll be Mark that goes home and the guy that's still that's going to betray the pretty boy is still going to go home and Anthony's not going to leave. And it's actually probably better to get Corey out. It's like, over the place.
I don't see that happening anyway, because I think no matter what, in that scenario, if that was the case, Adam would put in work overtime and Dane would to reconvince Sam that Corey is the threat and Corey needs to go up.
Mm-hmm. So we have veto players. It's going to be Kira, Kiki, Mark, Adam, Damian, and Esty. So Damian can win this veto to keep himself safe. Pulling for you, Damian.
If he gets screwed by the blood veto, that's just the funniest thing.
How awful would that be for Damian? If he gets screwed by the blood veto 1 week before jury when he should have been totally safe because they think he's part of a Bros Alliance that he's not. How brutal. All right. I think we've done everything we can to talk you through all of the various scenarios. There's been enough stuff that's gone on just this morning to fill a bit of tomorrow's update. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern when I update you on everything that happens today. We'll know the veto winner by the end of the day, I hope. So we'll have an idea of what's going to happen, a better idea at the very least. But like I said, so many different possibilities and options, and not only for the target this week, but for where the house is going to go from here. So things are really, really crazy at the moment. And I gotta say, I'm still really enjoying it. I feel like this is a lot of fun.
It was a fun day on feeds. Very fun. I will say, like, it was frustrating depending on who you're rooting for, but it was very fun. I appreciate the fact that at least a good chunk of these people are playing.
Yeah. Again, like this season is like, it can be disappointing, but like, it's a passionate disappointing. Like, you know, season 19 was like, yeah, of course, Paul's going to do it. Yeah, of course. This season's like, no, stop. Don't go into that room. Don't go up the stairs. What are you doing that for? The killer's going to get you. Like, I'm much more pumped for this season than past steamrolly seasons. So, I think, especially this week, I feel like we're in for some good stuff here. So make sure you keep tuning in to these live feed updates. Of course, I will be back tomorrow night to recap the Sunday night episode with Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6. Woo. And then Monday night we will update the stock watch. Things are just continuing. I'm with Mary. Things are not looking good for me.
Not gonna be good.
Luckily I have a lead. We're just gonna have to hope that I hold on to that lead. So make sure you tune into that. And then of course the exit interview that I did with Chelsea and Eddie should hopefully be attached to the end of this live feed update. We're going to start to attach those to the Saturday updates. So if you are interested in hearing that one, just stay tuned for the end of this this podcast, and you can hear from Chelsea and Eddie what they had to say about their games. I apologize for the brevity of the interview with two of them, and also the audio quality was a little off on this one, but hopefully you guys are able to enjoy it. So, Mary, where can people find you? What are you up to?
You can find me anywhere on the internet at Frail Mary. Just everywhere. You know, feel free to follow me on Snapchat. No, I don't really use Snapchat. That was a joke. But feel free to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or wherever else you would like.
If you have a time machine, go back a couple of years and follow Mary on Snapchat.
Yeah. I think I'm probably still there. I don't snap. Chat at all. So
all right, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren and on Twitch twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Thank you everyone for joining us. See you next time. Hello everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taren Armstrong, and today I will be speaking with the latest two evictees from the Big Brother Canada 7 house. We had a double eviction. Oh boy, it was a sad one too. So I will be talking with both Chelsea and Eddie today in this exit interview. So we'll get to hear from them. We can hear from Chelsea about her campaign, from Eddie about his time in the house, and you know how he feels about it. Hope he's doing okay. We saw some tears during the double eviction, so I hope he's doing all right. We'll find out very soon. So without any further ado, let's get to Chelsea and Eddie. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, how are you doing?
How are you?
Good. Okay, so I'll start with Chelsea here. We'll try to do this. Chelsea, the first thing I need to know from you is why didn't you throw Kira under the bus more?
You know what? It's hard in there. It's hard to separate like a real human connection that you have with somebody and strategize. There's a human relationship and then there's the strategy part of the game, and it's really hard to separate them. And I didn't realize that I was going to play emotionally, and I did. Honestly, I knew beside Kira right from the outset of being nominated, if I didn't win that POV, I was probably going to go home. So to throw Kira under the bus, someone that has had my back the entire game, it didn't feel right to destroy their game, knowing that I was probably going to go home anyway.
Sorry to have to get that out of the way very quickly. I had to ask. But how are you doing? How is everything after the double eviction here?
You know what? I've accepted it. Like I said, I really felt like it was kind of a certainty. Once I was up next to Kira, I felt like I was the bigger target. And so I feel like I'm kind of at peace with it. It sucks, obviously. I wanted to keep playing. I wanted to play harder. I want to play longer. But it's a game. And I recognize the game move. And I showed that I was a strong player. And I think it made the boys scared. So I kind of take it as a compliment. It is what it is.
Yeah, it seems like you were holding on to a lot of information that you had sort of gleaned from the past week. Do you think that you used that information in the right way, or do you have regrets that maybe you should have used that information differently?
I feel like had I used it earlier, it probably would have just blown up in my face, and it would have made that week really shitty. I think that, you know, if I would have exposed what I thought was the guys' alliance, I feel like I still wouldn't have had the numbers on my side. It was based on the girls that were voting that week. And I had been working really closely with Sam since the beginning. So going against Adam and also keeping her on my side would have been impossible. I don't think that she's ready to separate from Adam in a game sense yet. So I don't really have regrets on how I use that information. I feel like using it at the last minute to hopefully flip things at the last second was what I hoped could happen. But people don't want to go against the status quo, and no one wants to vote against the House majority. So it was what it was.
Yeah. So how do you feel about Kiki and Esty? You know, you did pitch to them at the last minute. And ultimately, they still voted you out. How do you feel about the games that they're playing?
I feel frustrated by their games. And I feel like the games that they're each playing is they're kind of like getting their hand held towards jury. And then I think they're going to get their throats cut by these guys. And I don't know why they don't see it coming. I think that they're fools to think that Dane's going to take them farther than he's going to take these guys. Honestly, I would like to see them put up a bit of a fight. I would like to see them shake things up, but at this point, I don't know that that's going to happen.
Also, I want to know, who do you think is playing the best game in the house?
Honestly, right now, even though he got me out, I think Dane's playing the best game. I think he's doing a really good job of protecting himself with a lot of solid numbers. And I think that he is great at lying to people's faces and manipulating them and planting little seeds of information and testing people. And I think if he gets to the end, then he deserves to win. Right now, he's doing a great job. I also think Anthony's playing a really good game too. I think that he's really flying under the radar, but he's really good with everybody. And I see that, and I recognize that he's probably going to go far.
All right, I'm going to switch over to Eddie now, real quick. Eddie, how are you doing?
I am doing better. I'm still not over it, but I'm doing better.
Yeah. It was very sad, Eddie, watching the double eviction. We saw some of the campaigning that you tried to do, and we saw that you were upset, and it was very, very heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking for me.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were disappointed, that you apologized to Canada that you played a boring game. Do you want to elaborate on that? Like, are you disappointed with your experience in the house?
To be honest, right now, like after I walk out to the audience and I see the huge cheer from the audience, I feel so much better. I'm not a boring person. I don't want to see myself as a boring person. But I feel like in this, cause I didn't really expect my game to end so quickly, right? So fast. It was a very abrupt. I feel like I could, like, if I had stayed in the game longer, I could have made some bigger moves. I wanted to make big moves. I told Kaylin that I wanted to make big moves too, like, but Kaylin was backdoor the other day, so we didn't actually get to make that move ourselves. Yeah. Like, because I am a super fan, right? And I know that you are also a super fan. I know who you are. So yeah, I love you, by the way. As super fans ourselves, we like players who are actually playing the game. And I don't want to be viewed as a player who is not actually playing the game. I really try to play the game. It just doesn't work out for me because like nobody wants to talk game with me. I really try, and my allies were taken out one by one. And I wanted to make a big move, but I just didn't get a chance to make a big move. That was why I was apologizing to Canada that I was being boring because I thought that Canada, you know, I.
Yeah. Can you tell me more about the Mackie vote, where it ended up being a 5-5 tie and you voted for Mackie to stay, and you had told people that you were planning on voting for Mackie to leave because that was going to be voting with the House, but ultimately you changed your mind. Can you tell me what went into that decision and if you think it was potentially a turning point in your game?
Yes, we choose, like, voting with the wrong side of the house is definitely the downfall of my game. I knew exactly where the vote will be going, right? I know exactly that Mackie is very likely to leave, but I still voted against the house because last minute, Kaylin gave me more information about, like Dane swore on his father's necklace that he would vote to keep Mackie if there's a tie. So I feel like I was taking a bet at that time. You know, I was willing to bet on, you know, Dane's promise. It was like the bet didn't work out, obviously. But like that, I do feel like I wanted to keep Mackie and I wanted Kira out so bad. So I feel like in hindsight that was not a good move. But like I took a bet and I lost. That's it.
Yeah. Can I hear from you? Who do you think is playing the best game in the house?
Okay, I feel like same as Chelsea. I feel like Dang and Anthony are playing the best game in this house. My target this week, like for a double eviction, would have been Dang if I had won, you know, the final HOH of double eviction. But because I feel like Dang has a lot of numbers on his side, and he's a very dangerous and underrated player, and he just got too many numbers on his side, and he has to go out before Adam. Anthony, obviously. He's right under the radar, like he's manipulating people behind the scenes. I also feel like Corey is actually playing a game because she came in the house being a very huge target, right? Everyone wants her out. But yet she managed to like maneuver her way and stay in this very solid position when nobody sees her as a threat anymore. That is some very amazing job on her part. Yeah.
So you mentioned that Dane would have been your target. Who would you have put on the block next to Dane if you had won that double eviction HOH?
Mark, because I feel like Mark is wishy-washy to every single person. So I want to put him up as a pawn just to, you know, force him to show his real cards.
Chelsea, who would you have gone after? If you had stayed in the house and you were competing and you won that HOH, who would you have put up on the block?
I probably would have put up Mark and Dane, hopefully to get Dane out. And failing that, if Mark went home, I would have been fine with that too.
There you go. I want to hear from both of you as well. Who do you think is playing the worst game in the house? Chelsea, we'll start with you.
Mark, I can't stand his game. He's so wishy-washy and he runs to power. The week that I was HOH, he was like up in my HOH room the entire time. Draining my iPod, very clearly running to power. He's so shifty and he's not trustworthy and he's like playing these weird roles with people and he's so shady. And like as soon as I was on the block, it was like he didn't even talk to me. So I don't know where that relationship went, but suddenly when I didn't have power, it didn't exist anymore. So I don't respect his game.
Yeah, for me personally, Mark is definitely playing the worst game too, because based on the same reasoning that Chelsea just said, and also he likes to show off his he likes to show off how clever he is. Like, who does that? Like, literally, like, he just couldn't shut his mouth and tell people how intelligent it is and show off, like, his intelligence. But that's a very bad move. Also, he made Estes playing a bad game on the opposite end of the spectrum because Estes keeps telling people that she's stupid, she's dumb.
She's not.
That is very apparent, right? Like, she knows the game. Like, if she keeps telling every single person every single day that she's dumb, she's stupid, people will stick to that very easily. So she's fooling no one.
I told her that she was smarter than me. I was like, I know you're smarter than you're letting on. She's like,
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for talking with me. I'm sorry that it's so short, but I loved you both. I know you guys have a lot of support, so sorry to see you guys go, and I hope we talk again soon.
Thank you.
There you go. That was Chelsea and Eddie. I did my best with two people at once. It was a little difficult. 10 minutes, two people, but I tried. Heard from Chelsea about the difficulty that she had campaigning against her allies there at the end, and heard more from Eddie about that Mackie vote. Man, he says he took a bet that Dane wouldn't break his word and that he might keep Mackie. But ultimately, I do think that's really the start of the end for Eddie's game there. And Chelsea talked about knowing this information about the guys working together. And I think she's right in the sense that, like, I think that, she tried to approach Kiki and that immediately blew up. And then she did try to go last minute to Esty and pitch this idea that the guys are working together and she needs to stay. But ultimately that did not work out. I would love to talk to Chelsea more about this week and her game and everything. So hopefully we can do that at some point. I think she would be great to talk to. And Eddie too, of course, I think is lovely. And he knew who I was. So look at that. Eddie, the super fan. Great two people. Sad to see them both go, but we have to look forward, look to the future in the house and see what happens in this post double eviction world. And we're going to have to do just that. So make sure you tune in on Sunday night. We will be live with Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6 to recap the Sunday night episode of Big Brother Canada 7. And then Monday, we will be back with the roundtable where we'll update the Stockwatch and go over all of the people's games and everything. We'll see if we agree with Chelsea and Eddie that Dane is playing the best game, or if we disagree. We'll have to find out. So tune in for all of that. And of course, every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, I will be live to update you on everything happening on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feed. So tune in for that as well. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.